Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Nothing's quite as charming as working in the garden in the morning. Picking sweet tomatoes.
Wonderful spring afternoon to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Garden
spring
Talk.
Morning. The very first spring afternoon.
I've been
morning.
Waiting to say that for a long time. I got up early this morning. Spring arrived at Bradley International at 5:30 this morning. I got up early.
Was on the flight from Atlanta. Flight in?
Yeah, she flew okay? in from Ecuador, I believe.
That's good.
And she's looking good, man, for an old lady. I mean, like, refreshed. It's like she doesn't age a day.
Out in shirt sleeves all day today.
And best news is her sister, Winter, was leaving on a flight to Chile.
Well, that seems appropriate.
Yeah, yeah.
How did old man Winter look when he left?
Old man Winter, I haven't seen him.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he was hanging on yesterday, though, wasn't he? By his fingernails, but he is still hanging on.
Yeah. I just
glad to see it was a really officially spring when I went out today.
522-9842, 1-800-966-9842. Those are the numbers to call with any and all of your gardening questions. For the next 2 hours, we'll have you as our guest here at the Garden Talk Institute. And there's free corn dogs for the first three visitors to the institute this morning. Yeah. How many are here?
One, two, three.
That Lobster Bob is here.
That's right.
Well, we got four corn dogs, so three guests, and we'll have to split the other one between the three of us.
Okay. And then Scott Real is here from Winterberry Gardens.
Greetings, all. Special shout-out to Uncle Steve, who I understand is a weekly listener every week.
Uncle Steve.
Monique, our department administrator, informed me today that Uncle Steve is a regular and looks forward to hearing us on a weekly.
Well, so, Uncle Steve,
special shout out to
listening.
Uncle Steve.
Appreciate it. Let's see, where are my references here? This is the 20th of March, first day of spring. Today is National Bock Beer Day. Didn't you bring it?
I didn't know, but I like it. Yeah, spring is time for Bock beer. That's
true. Still early. It's still early.
It is.
National Ravioli Day.
I didn't bring ravioli either.
Neither did I. And I didn't.
Got some in our freezer.
But it is National Corn Dog Day.
And there are corn dogs.
And there are corn dogs. And I can't understand it. The great American meat out is today. Eat vegan for a day. How can you have corn dogs and
vegan day on the same day? It's like these people do not coordinate their calendars.
No, they don't. Sir Isaac Newton died today in 1727.
Too soon?
Yeah, he ate a green apple.
Oh.
And in Boston in 1760, Boston was nearly destroyed with the Great Fire down on the wharves. We rarely remember that.
I don't either.
You don't remember that.
Even Bob doesn't.
I don't remember.
Even Lobster Bob doesn't remember it.
Let me see. Oh, in 1920, Douglas Chapman was born. He died in 1996. He was a mathematical statistician and an expert on marine mammal populations and population dynamics. In the 1960s, he warned that the number of whales being taken by the whaling industry was far in excess of what the population
could hold.
Good thing he spoke
up. If only we had listened sooner.
Columbia, Pennsylvania, the first newspaper vending machines were used in 1954. Hmm. I like that.
You know,
and now we're not even getting newspapers anymore.
I just found out.
Good. Good to say. Yeah. Where do you get a newspaper?
First vending machine ever was in London, England.
Uh-huh.
It was used to sell banned books because this bookseller had found it. He figured if it wasn't him actually selling it, it was a machine, he could work his way around it.
Ah.
So, yeah. Vending machines. Who knew?
Well, we got a number of emails, more than normal.
And these are ones we can actually talk about on the radio. Other ones with the misspellings and the naughty words, I mean.
Well, yes.
There are reams of those.
These are positive emails.
Len heats his house with those, actually.
Okay, this is from Ed Kozlowski.
Okay.
Okay. And he was commenting on his Christmas cactus, how it is re-blooming. And he got all excited about it, but a little bit worried that something might be happening.
The zygote cacti have been definitely taking up a lot of our time lately, and it is because we are right around that time where the Easter cactus.
But this is a Christmas cactus.
He's saying he's definitely, confirmation.
Yeah, it actually flowered a little bit earlier before Christmas.
Interesting.
But it's not unusual for that rebloom to happen, depending on the day length. Flowering is usually controlled by a number of environmental factors, but primarily day length. So if you've got it, you know, and you're not artificially screwing up the light scheme, it's possible that it thinks November's coming around again. And if it's got the energy and it's got the will, you get the bonus round.
Well, I think kudos to Ed then for keeping his plant so happy that it wanted to bloom again.
Actually, I was down at the clinic this week, and the walk-in clinic, and the receptionist had a Easter cactus there, and she said that one of her Christmas cactuses were re-blooming too. So it's not all that unusual.
Very good.
That's what I figure anyway.
Yeah. Well, it can't be because we have anecdotal evidence.
Nobody has noticed.
Well, yeah, you got to keep an eye on it. I mean, I'm looking at that Christmas cactus, and it's not coming back until next Christmas.
There are no buds.
I can tell by the beard and the red suit. Anyway, let's go to Barbara in Southington. What do you say? Hey, Barbara, welcome to Garden Talk.
Hi, thank you. I enjoy your show all the time, but I just have one question today. Is it too early to start cleaning your yard?
What are you going to do to your yard?
Well, it's filled with twigs and pieces of pine needles and stuff that have come down in the yard, and I just wanted to know if it was too early to do that or not.
Well, it's a little. I would, depending on the squishiness of your yard, I'd say yeah, it is too early.
Too early.
If it's really wet.
Yeah.
If it's wet.
Okay, like the middle of April, would you say?
Well, it depends on the squishiness of your yard. Every yard is different.
If it's like a wet sponge, hold on.
Yeah,
if you step on it and you start sinking, stay away from it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
all right, thank you so much.
No, you're not done. No.
Len never lets anyone off the easy, Barb.
Oh, okay.
Well, I want to know how you're going to pick up those sticks and needles. What's your
intention? Actually, I have somebody come in and clean my yard, but
with
I don't know whether I should call him yet or not, because if I call him now, he's going to show up in 2 days, and I don't know if it's too wet to do it now.
But what kind of tool is he going to use?
Yeah.
Pardon me?
What types of tools does he use?
Usually a rake.
That's what I was.
I have quite a large yard.
Yeah, I know.
And I have a lot of trees around it. So.
Oh, I see right through your phone. Yes, I see. I can see that. You know what though? That is the deadly mistake that most of us make here. When you rake your yard to pick up the sticks, to pick up the pine needles, whatever, what you're doing is loosening up the top of the soil. And if you have a crabgrass problem, the crabgrass seeds that have been laying underneath the soil require sunlight in order to germinate.
Oh, okay.
So what you're doing is increasing the amount of crabgrass that you'll get later on this year.
Well, then let me ask you something else now. Is it too late to put on lime? Because I have a lot of moss because of the trees.
Lime is a very slow release product. I think if people knew how slow release, they'd be liming out on top of their snow to help me get it
there. There is a product out there from Jonathan Green and others that is a super limer, acts faster, but it's still slow. It's a snail. The thing is, this is the time to get, you know that little pouch that, well, at least the three of us here have from the winter where we've been sitting.
I'm blaming COVID. Yeah. I'm blaming COVID officially.
But remember the game Pick Up Sticks? Well, this is a great time to get rid of the pouch and pick up sticks at the same time to exercise
those.
Oh, it'll
take me forever if I have to bend down and pick up all those sticks. There's so many of them.
Well, at least the big ones.
The big ones, yeah, okay. Yeah.
But ask your guy when he does rake. I'm sure he's going to, because that's what you want.
Yeah.
To go easy. Don't go for all the thatch. Don't dig it up.
Lot of guys, the pickup for professionals is to put the thatch rake on the front of the Z mower and then drive a half-ton vehicle around your yard, compressing all the soil and scratching the top of it up. And, yeah, we're not helping anybody there.
Yeah, no.
And then the next time they come back with weed killer.
Yep.
Yeah, we're about a week and a half off from really starting our spring cleanups, and we do try to do a lot of it with blowers and things like that
that's not going to be upsetting
that topsoil.
Because the first time you go around with your lawnmower, you're going to break up all those sticks.
Yeah.
Unless they're real big, chunky ones.
No, they're not big. They're a lot of little twigs, you know.
Yeah, well, the lawnmower will take care of that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Maybe we can save you some money.
Yeah, that's true. All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Barbara. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yes. Right off the get-go, we have hopefully a happy customer. Anyway, we have to take a short break, but we will return with more Garden Talk right after this. On WTIC News Talk 1080. You know all those emails that we got, that I got?
About Tiny Tim?
No, well, yes, many of them were about the classless act of playing tiptoe through the tulips. And that they thought...
I'm so used to the classless act around here that it doesn't even register.
It was thought, you know, they listened to the Monty Don, they're listening to that other public radio station, and evidently they think they have more class than we do. I don't understand.
No.
But you know what?
Well, I've always thought
I wanted to show that we have class. We can play O Mio Bambino Caro. We can do that. I can even roll my R's.
It's a lovely aria.
And we can speak with big words, too.
Yes.
Scott?
Heterorhabditis bacteria 4.
I love the English accent, too. What about Glyptosorboides... No, Metasequoia, Glyptosorboides. Very poetic.
Yes. Just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, it does. It does. So we can be a class act here. We just choose.
To be fair, we can be classy too.
Welcome back to Garden Talk. Class or no class.
I like that people, you know, right about here, Popeye needs to pop in with I am's what I am's, but that's all that, yeah.
Sometimes we embarrass our producers, but Joey's gotten over that.
Mm-hmm. Scar tissue.
The therapist has helped me immensely get through these chimes.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh, you're off.
Yeah, they never instituted that program until we got on the air. Anyway.
But it's nice. I go and because I go, you know, enough that the little punch card, I get a free visit every 7. So
sure,
yeah.
Can Len borrow that free visit?
Yeah, he probably needs more than one.
Yeah, probably a team of specialists. For
Len. Yeah, at least a team.
All right. There'll be no more of that.
Sure.
Until next
no more
time.
Assaulting
until the
host.
Next time it happens.
Say and 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC.
Yeah, because I want to talk to somebody else.
Or, if you prefer, 522-48-9842 and 1-800-966-9842. You can call any four of those numbers and it'll all work.
Sure.
Among the emails that that were included this week, I'm afraid I only look at the emails every once in a while. I'm not one of those guys that's on there every 4 hours.
Yeah, I noticed.
You did.
I sent you an email on Tuesday, and I got a response last Thursday.
Tuesday of this month, though. And really, and he turned it around that fast.
Yeah. And we got an email from Kathleen, who had a problem. I don't know if you've heard of this, guys, but it's a native weed, lawn weed, hairy paspalum.
Yeah, paspalum.
Well, you say paspalum.
I'll say. I say papsalum.
Papsalum.
Yeah.
Or it's also known as slender papsalum. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it grows to be about a foot and a half high when it's flowering, and it just doesn't blend in well with the wall. Well, she's got a problem with it, and we talked about it. She contacted Salem Safe Lawns.
Mm-hmm.
That's her, and I got a call into Mary Johnson too because I wanted to, Richardson rather.
Yes.
Because I That's wanted to say. Get the straight and skinny on it, but she hasn't called me back. Because of course I only called her yesterday.
Mm.
But Kathleen had a number of questions, and when my knuckles started to turn white in answering them, I decided maybe it was better that if she just listened, we could answer them this time. Okay.
Mm.
So somewhere in our conversation on the email, we mentioned corn gluten. I think we mentioned that last week too, corn gluten meal. And in order to be an effective pre-emergence wheat preventative, it has to have a high protein content, upwards near 10%. So it's a high quality, fairly more expensive. And she wanted to know what corn gluten meal did we recommend. Well, there's a number of them out there, but if you look for Jonathan Green Organic Weed Preventer, you're going to get the right concentration of protein. But there's others out there. Will my weed torch destroy Harry?
Well, the weed torch is going to burn off everything. The whole idea with a weed torch, with a flame torch, is we're burning the laminate surfaces off of the leaf, mm-hmm. exposing the inside of the leaf so it desiccates, dries out. And that's going to take care of any plant eventually. Yeah. Fire and plants are...
Well, what I found is if the weeds, of course, are under the ground, and if it doesn't get hot enough, it's not going to kill the weeds. But I learned that that Harry here only needs to have his crown damaged for not to come back.
Crown heated up a little?
A little heated up, yes. So what I would recommend is that you water that lawn and then hit it with your torch and see what happens.
Yeah, no, the flame weeding is... not the greatest carbon footprint thing, but super effective. It's a one-time burn down. As long as you're able to identify the plants you're going after, that'd work.
Okay, so one question answered, two question answered. We got about six more from Kathleen. Kathleen, we're going to come back to this after we take Ed's call from Manchester. And don't worry, we'll get them all answered. Just we're going to keep you listening for all 2 hours because we need every listener we can get our hands on.
Darn straight.
But we're going to take a break now for news, weather, sports, maybe have another corn dog, maybe a sip of seltzer, a little water, relax a little bit. But we'll be back, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All in favor of coming back, say aye.
We're here for
aye.
The duration.
All right. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Garden Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. That music means it's time for Scott Real, the garden pundit, fighting for our rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of gardening without government interference.
I got something to say.
Really?
What's new?
Wow. He's got well,
this is why
play.
I thought Garden Pundit was a perfect. I always have an opinion on almost everything.
Yes, whether we like it or not.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And sometimes
if you don't want to hear it.
Sometimes they don't, but I always come at it from a place of truth, at least as far as I see.
Truth, justice, and the.
In the American way. Yeah. Darn straight.
Yeah. Well, at least we give you. We formalized your.
Sure. Ability. So. Last week, during the Garden Pundit portion of the program, I put forth the proposition that the better part of design is editing.
Right.
It's paring down to those things that are strictly necessary out in the yard. Assuming you've all taken this message to heart. Today- yeah, I know, right? The laughter is absolutely appropriate after that. But let's go out in the yard today. With just that thought in mind.
Why don't we?
Let's take a walk around the yard because, one, it's a beautiful afternoon. Two, things are starting to pop and hop out there. I was out at a customer's in Marlboro yesterday and saw that her hyacinths were on the way up.
So really?
That, yeah. That's not a daffodil. That's not a crocus. And here come the hyacinths.
Wow.
So I think things are going to start moving pretty quickly in the garden right now. So all the little reminders of what was there the year before... are starting to pop back in and remind us about what's hither and thither. Start wandering the yard with an eye towards what's been working and what hasn't. We all start our gardens with the greatest of intentions for every plant that we put in. But so often we start to fall into what my Aunt Stephanie Cohen, who is my my guard, she's my industry mom, she's my garden auntie, a smart lady, but she is definitely of and has coined it the cram and jam school of garden design.
Ooh.
Well, who are we? We're gardeners. What do we want? All the plants. Where are we going to put them? We don't know. So let's start wandering around the yard and looking at the things that worked and didn't work. And you know what? If something's not working, you know, that big clump of rutabaccia was lovely for years and years, but now it's a brown, sloppy mess because, well, a septoria leaf spot has pretty much rendered that plant nearly unusable in the garden at this point.
Oh, stop. It travels hither and yon in the yard.
The septoria?
No.
The rutabaccias.
Yeah.
Sure they do. They take over, they make huge, massive clumps, but because so many of us have used that plant, and now so many of us have huge areas that are rutabaccia, now this disease is spreading epidemically because there are better, I will say, rutabaccias
out there
that one can use, like Little Susie or, actually Rutabeccia fulgida variety fulgida.
And for those of you who don't use big words and don't have as much class as Scott, Rutabeccia is black-eyed Susan.
Yeah, they are the black-eyed Susan.
Yes.
So, yeah, University of Chicago recognizes the septoria problem that was coming up, ran some studies and did it. So, you know, I guess if it doesn't offend you, then it's not a problem in your yard, and let's move on to the next plant. But let's look at those plants and realistically assess how have they been working for us in the yard, and if they have not been meeting your expectations or garden dreams, there are other plants out there.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Bunches that you don't know about.
Well, let me, if I may, add an axiom to that. When I walk around the yard now, I look at all those spots that are just mulch or dead leaves or something like that that could have color.
Yeah.
And there are plants coming up right now. So what do I need to do next fall to make those spots vibrant right now?
Yeah.
And the only way you're going to remember is if you write it down.
If you write it down.
You know, you're good for that.
Get a pad, pencil.
Yeah.
Just jot down, make some notes.
Yeah.
I go outside again. Well, I'm going to look at this or I'm going to look at that.
Absolutely.
And then you find out that the plant that you planted 4 years ago, which needed full sun and was doing wonderfully up until about 2 years ago, until the trees and the shrubs over top of it shaded that whole spot.
Exactly.
Now it doesn't grow.
A garden is not a static thing. Despite all of our human intentions for what that garden is supposed to look like, hey, we get to maybe write the script, but we don't get to act it out. So our gardens are a collaboration between us and nature. How are we going to make that dovetail work? And if your answer is, I'm going to constantly try to modify nature to make my ideas work, oh, you're in for a long slog.
Rude awakening.
Absolutely. This is a partnership. So, and the beautiful thing is Mother Nature's been several million years diversifying and coming up with new plants and new ideas and things that are going to work to fit exactly the niche you have them in. And I think the greater part of gardening is selecting the right plant for the right place. And that's going to make your garden better. That's going to make you a happier gardener. Yep. And it's going to make your garden a happier space.
And that's what people like yourself and Bob and myself and Garden Center personnel, staff, not the big box staff, because they don't,
many times they don't know.
Some do. But a good Garden Center staff can help you select those, take a picture of where you want.
Hey, I've been into the big boxes like Diogenes with his lantern looking for that.
I knew of a couple. I don't know any right now.
The problem with the box store is the guy you talked to yesterday, you got to go down to plumbing department to get the answer from him tomorrow.
Well said, Robert.
You know, people don't understand. The people that are in a garden center, that's their job. That's their professional. It's like going to see a doctor or a garage for you to get your car fixed. You don't take your car to get fixed at a tire store. You take it into a garage to get it.
I tell my doctor all the time, she's got a way easier job than I do because she only has to know one genus and species really well. We got to know hundreds. And then we got to know all the diseases that attack each one of them. It's hard to keep track of some
things. Maybe they should call us Dr. Gardeners.
So anyway, that's my garden rant for the
first day of spring. Well done, Scott. Well done. No, I'm glad you brought that up. Gardeners without borders?
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, here we go. Let's go to Ed in Manchester, who's got a hydrangea question. Hey, Ed, welcome to Garden Talk.
Hello.
Hello, Ed.
There he is.
How are you doing?
We're doing great. Welcome to Garden Talk, buddy.
Good. Last year, we got three hydrangeas that were blooming blue ones, right?
Blue ones.
They did well. They did well last year. I was wondering, do I cut those things back to the ground, or
do you want them to do good this year?
Yeah. What's that?
Okay. If you want them to do good this year, you don't touch them.
Yeah.
And you pray that they didn't die during the winter, the 20 degrees or 0 degrees that we had.
And that you didn't cut them back in the fall.
They'll come up. They just may not flower.
Yeah. So even the ever-blooming types like you've purchased, Ed, if the buds get frosted or cut off at this point, you will get blooms again. It'll probably be about August, you know, late July, August, before you see those hydrangeas flower, because they set the blooms on the previous year's wood. So we want to leave hydrangeas alone as much as possible right now. If there's obviously dead, dried, desiccated sticks in there, sure, we can take those out. But any branch that's showing you a bud or a leaf or anything, let's leave that right alone.
That's hard enough. Wait till they start leafing out.
Actually leafing out is a good bet. Yeah.
And that's usually till about the beginning of May.
Yeah.
And really, our best time to prune hydrangeas to get them back to a shape that we're comfortable with is just as soon as they get done flowering.
Exactly. Get that.
Okay.
Get that one, especially the flowering branches off. You could take it in stages. If it flowers, then cut it off when the flower dies, so that you're taking it down helter-skelter for the most part, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Good. All right, buddy.
And Ed, you know, Lenny and I agreed on it, so you know it's right.
Oh, man.
Okay. Thanks.
You bet. All right. And we're going to take a short break here, but we will be back to answer your question right after this. Welcome back to Garden Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. Now that is class.
Well, they sound class. I'm so glad that I wore my high visibility yellow tux for the show.
Yes. That was...
couldn't find the gloves, though. But I do have my opera glasses with me. Opera glasses.
That was from, let me see if I got this straight, Lernosi di Figaro?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not how you pronounce it.
No, it's the Marriage of Figaro.
Probably close enough.
Yeah. Well, Lernosi di Figaro. Hmm. How's that?
Figaro. Better.
Yeah, I mean, we're reeking of class today, let me tell you. Yes. Yeah, you know that stuff. That's why, because you're a classy guy.
Mm.
Welcome back to Garden Talk, everyone. 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, or 522-9842, 1-800-966-9842. All four of those numbers will work. Okay, we're going to go to, let's go to Anne. She's got an Arbor Vitae.
Oh, is it Arbor Vitae?
Arbor Vitae.
It's dying, however. Let's see if we can help her out.
So many
hey,
of them
Anne,
are.
Hey, Anne, welcome to Garden Talk.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, my pleasure.
How much do you know that I told your interviewer, your phone interviewer?
Not much at all. He doesn't tell us anything.
He doesn't. Yeah, he can barely pronounce the big words.
Yeah,
you know how he
spelled Arbor Vitae?
Yeah.
Three words. A-R-B-O-R.
Oh, well, he used an O. That's better than usual.
V-E-E. T-I-E.
Okay.
Arbor Vitae.
So last
He's
year
a really good producer,
spring.
Though.
Yes.
Just wanted to work that in there.
Okay. Last year in the spring, I purchased 4 Arbor Vitae. They're about 3.5 feet tall now. I put them in huge whiskey barrels, and I watered them throughout until the wintertime with about 2 gallons of water each. And they do have drainage.
Each what? Each
but what
day,
happened,
each
they look beautiful, and then all of a sudden, the back part of the trees, trees, I guess, started, or shrubs, I'm sorry, started to die. They just got dry and died, so I took all that off. I'm not sure I did right, correctly, but...
You
so
can't
they're
kill
looking
them.
A little. They don't look really beautifully green right now, but they are green, and they did survive the winter. So I'm wondering, what can I do?
I have 2 questions before we go any further.
Yeah,
1 to 2 gallons of water per day, week, month.
Per day. It was so hot.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, these are not water lilies, however.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there holes in the bottom of these containers?
Yes, it's well drained. There are holes in the bottom, and it also sits on gravel.
Good.
There we
and
go.
When you said the backside, what is the backside versus the foreside?
Yes, you wouldn't know that.
No.
The front side is facing the sun. The backside is more in the shade.
Facing the house? Facing the patio?
They're facing...
away from the
facing
sun.
Facing the road, more like.
So the roadside is dying?
There are other trees behind it. It's kind of like a little wooded area behind it.
Oh.
And this is not close to the road, or is it close to the road?
Well, it's not that close to the road, no. There's a side. There's some land, a little bit of land, like about 12 feet, and there's a sidewalk.
Is it possible? That during this winter weather? Now, this is just a guess on my part.
Oh, it got salt. No,
the salt and sand. No.
No.
You sure?
Oh yeah, 12-foot throw. Because I know a lot of the town guys. As a residential snow removal expert. I wore with the different towns, snow removal crews, and those guys were flying this year because we had a lot of snow events where it was coming fast.
And
that can throw sometimes a great deal further than 12 feet.
But I can't, I don't understand. You've been, it was a dry summer,
mm-hmm.
and she watered.
But she watered.
Very well.
Yeah.
And these are, I can't understand why it's almost the backside, front side dead alive.
Yeah, you would think that if it were the salt, the front would be affected, right?
So the front is
the front is facing towards the street?
Yes.
Okay, I was there. Okay, I was thinking the opposite. Was the other way too. Yeah.
See, we're having a problem with
the back is protected. There's a wooded area that's about, about four car lengths. And
could they just have gotten shaded out?
Yeah, that's the only thing. How, all of them are doing this?
All of them.
Yeah.
Is it
possible? Yeah, and when I cut the one out, when I was cutting one out, I made sure that I used, I cleaned the utensil before the cutting device I went to the next one.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
I don't think you did anything wrong. Is it possible that you paid for these plants on credit and didn't pay half the bill?
I did pay by cash.
Oh, he's going to blame Bigfoot next. Watch, I predict.
Hey, you got a better explanation for this?
And do you have
one? Not yet. But I still think you can drill down on this. Yeah, we're going to have to ponder on this one for a while.
Well, I could give you a quick step.
What's
that? Do you have a husband or a boyfriend?
No.
No? Well, if you did, would you call him dear?
Oh, no.
Don't go. Would you call him dear?
Don't go. It's a dad joke. It's a dad joke. He's lining up for a dad joke.
I can feel it coming. What he's thinking is the deer snuck up on the backside near your forest. And munched the green away.
But that doesn't explain the brown.
Well, is it brown or the leaves gone and just the branches?
The leaves were dead. They were
backward.
Dead. They were brown and dry.
Yeah, that rusty brown.
So
dry,
I could
crunchy.
Take them off. They just kind of, you know, I could just pull them off. I didn't. I cut them off. But
Yeah. Well, I would have too, I think. I'm stumped.
Wait a minute, did you buy
these at a box store?
I did.
Good. You have 1 year to return them for a full refund.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that because I deal with these people and they'd make it right. But I just don't know whose fault it is, you know, or what happened or how I can. I'd really like to, keep the trees.
Yeah. No, so, I wouldn't.
I'd like to keep them too, but I'd like them all green.
I don't know whose fault it is.
The only thing I can think of.
So I guess that's probably how it is in the winter. I mean, coming out of the winter, it's more like it's a dark green, but it's not that brilliant green like arborvitae get.
Right. And that is truly just a function of, the sap's not flowing quite as fast as it would in season. This will change rapidly, I suspect. So, that'd be my recommendation is let's get some food back in them to make sure that they do color back up correctly.
And turn them around.
And, we could very well turn it around. But are we now turning the perfectly good front to the back where now it gets shaded yet again and this stresses
it
out
so it
dies over the winter?
No.
Well, you're not going to do that, huh?
Okay. I just left a bee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to have to ponder on this one more.
Maybe one of our listeners.
Okay, so just so you understand, because I didn't explain it well, the trees get sun about 6 hours a day, and that's in the front. In the back, they get sun but limited because of the wooded area.
That might vary. This is the only thing I've got. That's what I've got. I've got nothing else. Too shaded on one side to help kill it off.
And that'll do it. You may want to move them if they're not totally gone. I don't know. But I would certainly get some sun on that backside, whether you'd be able to move them for a while to see if they green out.
The 6 hours is really kind of about the minimum that I'd like to prescribe for an arborvitae anyway. And if it was getting less than that on the backside, it could very well have led to the demise.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
Even in the summertime.
Even in the summertime.
Hot. Yeah. Evergreen needle plants like it as sunny as you can get them most of the time.
Well, Ann, we have to take a hard break. I'm sorry we don't have a definitive answer for you. But
I'm feeling pretty definitive.
Yeah.
What else could it be?
That's right. What else
could it be? So do you think if I turn the tree around, is what you're saying, so that the side that was bad...
No.
I don't want to do that because then that's going to make the good side bad,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. We have to go. Move them out into the sun.
See ya.
Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. That music means it's time for great moments in gardening and nature and other stuff you didn't know about plants and nature. Maybe you knew. Today, I'm going to look into the future. And I expect within a week, we will hear sounds of spring. The peeping
peepers.
Of peepers. Yes. Watch out there, buddy. Peepers. You need 44 degree days in order for peepers to peep, to do their thing. Now, peepers are just the size of the end of your thumb. They're no more than an inch long. They're little frogs, and they can be frozen, for crying out loud, under the leaf litter all winter long and still emerge because they have this antifreeze in their blood.
Yeah, it's pretty much most frogs. That's the hibernation
exactly.
Method.
What do they eat? Well, they eat little bugs, ants, all the nasty stuff that you don't like that's under the leaf litter. The adults feed in the late afternoon and the evening, and the youngsters feed in the morning. So they kind of share their wealth there. But, I expect that they will be out once the temperature reaches a couple days of 50 degrees, 55. We will see spring in its all, or listen to spring in all its glory. So keep your ears out.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful thing. And that's great moments in gardening and other stuff you didn't know about plants.
In a possible not so great moment in gardening, I know we've dealt with this one over the years. I remember in particular one phone call with somebody calling in to complain about cicadas.
Oh, and that's coming up.
You thought the window was open, and she said, oh, no, it's not. And she opened her slider and practically deafened us.
Yes, that's coming up.
Well, that was, I think, the 11-year cicada was that one.
17.
This is
whatever.
The 17-year cicada is the one that's popping out this year.
Don't forget the other noise for springtime.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, thanks for that.
No, yeah.
Hey, you know what?
Just want to get everyone prepared for their neighbors.
Even the professional industry is starting to look harder and harder at electric and rechargeable mowing. And you're going to start to see that come a little more and a little more. And boy, much quieter.
Much quieter.
Your
bill may go up a little bit, but
a wee bit, but it really shouldn't with the new portable solar charging and stuff. You guys should be able to go.
The cost of that initial equipment, that initial.
The initial equipment cost is definitely going to be a little bit steeper. But considering that there's lower maintenance costs to them and lower fuel and oil costs to them, that's all pretty much gone. Yeah, well, I think you'll see more and more professionals starting to make that move.
We have to get back to Kathleen's questions. I want to answer one question at a time here. In between the calls, we have Adam and Don online.
The hairy paps, paspalum. Yeah. It turns out you were correct. It's native up to about Pennsylvania.
What did you say?
Yeah, you were correct, and I was wrong, Len.
Oh.
You should revel in this moment because I know it happens so
rarely. What day is today? Let me write that down. Scott.
Well, she wants to know.
Wrong.
You know, getting away from Harry, she wanted to know what strength vinegar you might use as a weed killer, and it's 5% off the shelf. If you can get 6%, fine. Do it.
Yeah, if you can get something stronger, that's fine. Again, the idea here is burn the laminar surface off the leaf so the plant can desiccate.
So to intensify that, what I've been doing is adding boric acid, about a half a cup per gallon of vinegar, half a cup of boric acid, and a little bit of soap, dishwashing soap, just to get the surfactant to work.
Yeah, because the detergent will help cut that waxy laminar surface.
And also, I was looking at improvements. The experts are recommending soaking orange or lemon peel in the vinegar.
There is actually, if you look at some of the burn down products that are already out there available on the shelf, there's often orange oil.
Yeah. And I am experimenting with muriatic acid. Dilution of muriatic acid, which is a little more dangerous. Hydrochloric acid is what it is, but you have to dilute it. And so I'm not going to recommend that at all.
Yeah, don't try this at home, kids.
No.
Not yet.
But boric acid you were talking about using is great because boron is often a minor trace element that is a little low in our soils here in Connecticut.
Just don't overuse it because it could also be toxic.
Right.
All right, there's one more down. Only three to go. But let's go to Adam in New Britain. New Britain. I believe it's pronounced.
Well, you grew up there. I guess you'd know.
I know. Adam, how are you, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Excellent. So I have a question. Hopefully you guys can help me out about trimming and pruning hollywood. I have two. They started out small about 10 years ago. And they are probably 4.5 feet tall. They're round at this point.
Yeah.
If you keep giving them that shape. On the south side of the house, sorry, the north side of the house, if that makes a difference. But what time of year is best to prune them? Can they be any time of year? And prune, I want to take off. Is it possible to take off a bit, you know, maybe 6-7 inches to kind of make, you know, train them to go a little smaller?
Is that more than a third of the plant?
No, they're 4 feet.
Yeah. All right, so we're 4 feet tall. So, but if we're taking 6 inches off all the way around, are we reducing the plant in size by a quarter, a third? I mean, 6 inches all the way around, even on a four-footer, could be half the plant.
Gotcha. I think you're safe with a trim. That's what I would call a trim. No more than 6 inches would be a trim. Three inches would be a real definite trim. But the question is, do you want berries?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was my next
trim
thought.
Too low, the berries won't come back this year, or?
Well, flowering is going to happen on second-year wood. So if we chop off all the second-year wood, you're not going to get much in the way of berries this year.
Or you won't get berries on the tips. They'll be down deeper.
Yeah, you could still get some down deeper. But it's going to be a lot fewer down deeper because it's on older wood.
The best time to trim
without them and not be hurt by it because it's starting to grow into my front walkway. So the berries will come back in following years.
And no, they're going to flower in June, and the best time to prune holly, whether it's to bring it down to the ground or just trim around the edges, is when the just before the holidays, so that you can take the berries, use it for decoration, and you're not going to hurt the plant. Mm. The deer are going to hurt the plant.
Right. Thankfully, I don't have that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so we're talking more.
You mean there's no deer in New Britain?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't like my neighborhood.
There's deer and black bears.
Oh, I wouldn't mind seeing those. But, well, that's good to know for future purposes. But okay, so a good time of year to trim them is more in early to mid-December.
Yeah,
sure.
And just keep up with a light trimming throughout the year as the new stalks come out.
Again, the more you trim before or after June in the warmer months, the less berries you're going to have in December.
Well, I'm thinking more the I'll have a few stalks that just shoot up a, you know, 6-7 inches above the rest of the plant. Like there's a few.
Sure.
This is the other thing that
I can trim off, no problem.
Yeah. So yeah, but don't forget, if we prune first thing in spring, as there is about to be a big new spurt of growth, you will get a bigger spurt of growth yet. If you want to prune later, like in summer, just after berries have set, that plant's used up pretty much almost all of its energy for the season. I mean, it'll still keep alive. It'll still stay there, but it's not going to be pushing heavy, hard growth. So one of the reasons that nurseries and orchards like to prune this time of year is to get that spurt of growth that's going to come out all over the plant. But if you prune in summer, that's when you're going to get your best size reduction holding shape. And Lenny's winter pruning, much the same. The plant's going to not be very active. You're not going to get a super big push. But the closer we do it to spring, the closer we do it in spring, that's when the plant's getting ready to push a whole bunch of energy anyway. So you're simply redirecting where that growth is going to go. So, you know, maybe doing a couple of tips this time of year, not a big deal. If we try to do hard pruning all the way around the plant, you're going to push growth all the way around the plant.
Okay. And if I trim in June, it shouldn't hurt the longevity of the plant, the nutrient base for the rest of the year, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay, good. So I'm looking at a summer trim. All right. That seems to be the best route for me, I guess. I don't want much growth after, so I think that'll be the one to do.
Yeah.
Good.
There you go.
Excellent. Well, a lot of information. I do appreciate it, guys.
No problem, Adam. We'll send you the bill. Hey, we're going to take a short break, but we'll be back with more Garden Talk right after this.
Tiptoe through the window, by the window, that's where I'll be. Come tiptoe through the tulips with me.
Well, I just need to apologize. You know that a leopard, you can't change his spots. It's always better.
I am what I am. That's all that I am.
It's easier to ask for forgiveness than for permission.
After spending the whole first part of the show trying to class the place up, you drug us right back down.
You go back to your roots, you know.
It's true.
It is.
It is.
So my apologies to the FCC.
Says, yeah, you taste like the sauce you're boiled in.
Welcome back to Garden Talk. Classier than 522-9842. 1-800-966-9842. Why don't we go to Don, who's been waiting very patiently in Waterbury. Hey, Don. Welcome to Garden Talk. Thanks for hanging on.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
I have known for a few years now, don't rake my lawn because it gives the crabgrass seeds room to grow.
Uh-huh.
And I just heard you saying that to somebody else also.
Yeah.
But there are parts of my lawn that are, well, most of my lawn is brown. But there are parts of my lawn that are brown and matted down with thick, regular grass, which looks so much better if I rake that. It's kind of like combing hair. So is there a happy medium between that thick, regular grass that I should not rake, but I like to rake because it looks better? Is there a happy medium between that?
Form or function, the age-old question of design and gardening. Form or function, are we going for the good look or are we going for the good work?
For instance, I got tired of combing my hair every day.
That's
so now I shave.
He just shaves
my head is shaved. So it, not only that, but, you know, it's like skinny dipping. You don't. Once you've gone there, you don't want to put the suit back on.
Right,
that's right. So, no, Don, there's not a good answer. If you wait a little bit longer, you can run your mower and kind of musk it up a little bit, you know. And I guarantee you by June it'll all look good.
Yeah. My recommendation there would be, you know, let's try to start introducing maybe some organic critters that are going to help you break that lawn thatch down.
Yeah. If there's thatch.
It's not generally an issue in an organic lawn because the thatch is the plant food, and you've got biology and critters in there. They're chewing it up. It can be more problematic when you're in that betwixt and between, you know, one of those bridge product kind of situations that's half organic and half not. You end up with some thatchy spots. I had some spots in my lawn I was looking at yesterday with just that same sense of dissatisfaction that you are. But I know full well that if I go in there and try to muck it around,
it's going to make it worse.
The crabgrass is just going to come roaring into that section, and that will start killing
us. Is the grass ever thick enough so that it just doesn't give the crabgrass room? The reason why I'm asking you that is because that's what it seems like here. Yeah. It seems like the grass is thick enough so close together so that the crabgrass can't get in there. Is that ever a possibility?
But the seeds are there. They're not germinating because they're down below that mat of grass that you've got in place, which the rest of your lawn is going to come roaring right up through, and you won't even see it here in a minute. So this momentary pain that you are feeling is not worth the long-term pain you're going to feel.
Okay.
To let these other bad guys back in place.
There is only one solution that I know of an organic lawn without any crabgrass, without any weeds, and that is to plant zoysia grass. It is so thick.
Ugh.
Yes, I know, but it's so thick that that it will not allow anything
and
to
what
go.
What do those zoysia grass lawns look like right now, Len?
Oh, yes. They're nice amber waves of green.
It is. Yes. It's just yellow. It's just
But in August, August are nice and green.
Is that the grass that will remain brown until June?
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yep. I have some of that, too.
Oh, and you're going to have more of it, too, because that creeps along.
Yeah, once it gets started, literally, I've done a couple of lawn renovations over the past few years. We've had to go in and just burn out entire sections of people's lawns to reintroduce good grass that's not going to do that. Yeah, it's awful. Somebody somebody had me out who said this is the last remnant of my husband who insisted, and I want this gone too. That was her take on zoysia.
I have one suggestion for that woman with the arborvitaes that got 6 hours of sun.
Oh, good.
And that why doesn't she turn around one plant? And,
just one and try it out.
Yeah.
That's an excellent suggestion.
Maybe the one in the middle, so if something happens, it at least looks kind of symmetrical. Yeah.
Or if she does every other one, she'll have green, brown, green, brown, green. It'll be kind of a design.
Fenestration, we call that.
Oh, is that right?
Fenestration.
Be like chess pieces.
That's a good idea, Don. You know, try out something.
Thanks very much for your expertise.
Well, if that's what it was, we're glad
we could help. They were more opinions than expertise, but we're sticking by them, Don.
Nice.
Take it easy, my friend.
Thanks, bye-bye, sir.
Yeah. Well, hey, why don't we go to Steve in Windsor. Hey, Steve, welcome to Garden Talk.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Gentlemen?
Oh, wait a minute.
Any gentlemen here? No.
Okay. Yeah, they just nodded. He went to the bathroom.
No, I was an enlisted man.
Oh, just in case any stop in, you know.
All right. Okay. Unlikely, but.
A couple questions. When is the best time in the spring to put on a fertilizer, a combination of fertilizer and weed killer on the lawn?
Never. Oh, well.
Never.
Depends on what weed killer you use. See, we tend to gyrate towards the organic end of it all. So if you're putting on a pre-emergence weed killer, organic weed killer, you got to put it on now. And then fertilize. Well, you could fertilize now, too, with an organic fertilizer.
You could organic fertilize at this point. But let's just assume in this case that that's not where we're going. Here's the thing. When we say organic versus chemical fertilization, at the end of the day, even the chemical fertilizers need the soil biologies to release. You do not get from ammonia to nitrite, and you do not get from nitrite to nitrate, the plant-soluble form, without bugs and critters in the soil doing that work for us. So those guys are not awake yet. So if you were putting down a water-soluble fertilizer at this time, it could very well mean you're just moving it through the soil profile before there are enough critters to get at it to actually release it. So long story short, rather than talking about exact dating, let's talk about soil temperature. And we're going to want to be at around 50-degree soil temperatures before we really start the fertilization process to make sure that the biologies in the soil are there and ready to take care of your fertilizer and turn it into a plant-soluble form.
There you go. So get your thermometer out and stick it in the soil.
Use a halitone. What are your thoughts on that?
Halitone's one of those bridged products that I was talking about where it's partly organic, it's partly chemical fertilization, and I still think at the end of the day we're waiting for a 50-degree temperature to make those releases. The organic stuff will turn around, will stay in place. The chemical stuff won't.
Yeah.
It's water soluble.
Steve, we have to take a hard break, I'm afraid, but I would wait until at least the beginning of May.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Again, thank you, gentlemen.
Hey,
not
you're welcome.
Problem.
Any gentlemen here? Raise your hands.
No, he's on our way back from the bathroom.
Oh, okay. Hey, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. back to Garden Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. I don't know if it's my earphones or whatever, but we have a nice bass sound today. I think Joey must have
done something. Joey's on his game. That's what I think. Yeah.
Anyway, that's time for the Garden Talk Tips of the Week, brought to you by absolutely nobody but us. But Bob, what do you got for us today?
Well, everybody's chomping at the bit. They're looking outside and they say, I want flowers.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for everything. When is this going to bloom? When's that going to bloom? Will it be next week? Go to the local garden center, your local nursery, and get yourself some pansies. Put them in a nice pot. Put them out on the step of your house, and you'll have instant flowers.
Yep.
And they'll tolerate the cold weather.
Yep.
Sure, even take a freeze.
And you'll be so happy every time you pull in the yard and you look up on your porch or on your deck, you're going to see those pots of pansies.
Yes.
It'll brighten your whole day up.
And the flowers.
Especially in the morning and when you get up.
The flowers that look like little faces smiling at you.
Hmm.
Yes.
And they come in multiple colors.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, we have pansies coming back from last year, planted in containers out on the north side. They flowered all summer long. It was incredible. It's the first year.
That's insane.
Yes.
Yeah, last year is not the kind of summer that a pansy would normally like.
But they go very dormant. When you're living the good life, you know, and you're living clean, that's what happens.
I guess. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's quite the feat.
Actually, it was my wife's fault. Yeah.
Fault?
Fault.
Yeah, she left them on the side of the house and forgot to move them? Or?
No, just on the north side. I said, you're not going to, there's no light there at all. There's no light there at all.
And that turned out to be exactly what they needed. Yeah. Hey, this is what I always love. And this brings me to my garden tip of the week. Let's experiment.
Ha ha.
Nobody, you know, hey, we love when you guys call in. We love to give out our advice. But at the end of the day, one of my gardening heroes, Masanobu Fukuoka, said,
what?
Nobody is Masanobu Fukuoka, who wrote One Straw Revolution, an awesome book that everybody should think about reading. But Masanobu Fukuoka said, no one will get to know your property better than you. And he's right about that. Mm-hmm. So even when you call in to talk to us, you try to explain everything and where the light is and how it is, you're the one who's going to see that plant. You're the one who's going to see that particular border. You're the one who's going to see that garden day in, day out, 365. What does it look like in winter? What does it look like in summer? You're going to know that piece of land better than anybody.
Yeah.
So let's experiment. Let's find those things. Len was mentioning that the missus left the pansies out on a north corner where Len kept telling her, not enough light, not going to do anything. And they bloomed all summer because they were in the dark, which isn't the bright burning sunlight that the pansies would hate. And they did fabulously. Let's experiment like that. Yeah. It doesn't have to be everything. You know, if we're thinking about a new plant and we're thinking about putting them all over the yard, hey, let's start with one. Let's try one of those plants out over here or over there, that experimentation to try to find the spot that's going to make that plant really happy. And if it doesn't work out, let's find the plant that's really happy in that spot. Maybe something we don't know that we haven't tried yet. We're making new plants all the time. They're getting dwarfer, smaller. That means easier to take care of.
That's the whole thing. Remember, it's your garden. It's not our garden. And your vision, we can help you with your vision because we kind of have more experience with what's available and what might work in a situation. But like we don't even know that. I found out, you know.
I don't have plywood Fanny and the Marlboro Man silhouette my yard because that's not my thing. But that doesn't mean it's not your thing.
Well,
and I'm not going to think less of you if you do that.
That's because you're from
your
the
yard.
Swanky end of Colchester.
that's right. I live up on the heights.
Yeah.
Literally the heights of Colchester.
Well, I'm going to say that it is probably, if you want to do anything out there in your garden, it might be a good time to mulch because things haven't come up yet. And I know I have a perennial. I don't mulch the same garden every year. I kind of move from one garden to the next, and that cuts down mm-hmm. on cost, and I can build sure. up 4 inches of whatever I need. So I'm going to do the one garden here pretty soon. I see the mulch is out and ready. I use bags because it's easy for me to move around.
And the mulch guys are recommending 2 to 3 inches of mulch for the same reason it says rinse, lather, repeat on your shampoo bottle.
Don't chintz.
To sell more shampoo. We find that an inch at most is more than enough. Incorporates back into the soil by the end of the year, starting enriching your soil, making it better for plants. For all you peeps out there who are trying to like cut the cheap and well, I'm going to do stones, it's going to be one big expense, but then I'm done. I got news for you. One of the biggest, ugliest, and most expensive jobs in landscaping is going back into stone mulch and hauling it back out of there because it's filled up with dirt, detritus, and all that
and pulling
stuff.
All the weeds.
And pulling all the weeds that have gone down through the fabric, so now they don't pull out at once. You end up having to pull the fabric. And 9 times out of 10, we end up with a machine on those jobs. And guess what? The machine just cost you more money. The labor that is taken to haul all this stuff out, screen it out, and put it back is any money you possibly save.
See, I like the pine nuggets. The mini pine nuggets are my absolute favorite, which is not really a mulch.
Yeah, that's right. I was just going to say that.
It's more of a cover.
That is a covering.
Yeah. But then again, I weed whack the entire perennial garden, and it's got a lot of chaff. Stuff
yeah.
already there for my mulch.
And that is one of the new models with Roy Diblick from Northwind Nurseries, who did the Shed Aquarium yeah. in Chicago. And I got to talk to Roy about this. He now DR mows. It's almost all perennials. It's very, very few shrubs. He DR mows the whole thing, chops it and drops it. He's taken their per square foot costing from $120 a square foot for a year of maintenance down to $32.
You mean I was ahead of my time?
You're certainly ahead.
Well, I was
and cheap. I can see all of it from here.
I was cheap. I did that because.
Yeah. But no, it's turned out to be a great way. He's getting his fertilization. He's getting his mulching. He's all getting it done in one
shot. Right.
Yeah. Yep. It's definitely a way to go.
Let's go to Richard in Avon. Hey, Rich.
What?
Welcome to Garden
hey.
Talk.
What's hey, up? Richard.
Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure. What you got?
I think you've already talked about arborvitae. I caught the end of it, but I'm curious to know: what's a good time to prune them, and how much can I prune them? Mine are about 9 feet tall.
Do you need to prune them because they're too tall, or do you need to prune them because you want to prune them? They're, as a rule,
yeah.
they're pretty conical and behaved. Why do you want to prune them?
Well, they're very happy where they are. They're growing nicely.
Yes,
but I think they're getting too tall. And so I'd like to take them down. I'd like to take them down to maybe 7 or 8 feet. They're 9 to 10 now.
That's a pretty drastic cut. I probably wouldn't want to try to do that all at once. I'd probably want to take that down gradually over the space of a couple of years. And again, because you're looking to reduce and maintain a smaller size, I think this is a job best left till summer. That's when the plant's at its absolute slowest growth rate. So when you go in and you make, especially if you're making a drastic cut like you're talking about, you're going to get your slowest regrowth back from that.
What would you take off, 6 inches from the top?
Because we're getting into fairly heavy wood if we go a lot deeper than that.
Sure,
I mean, you can do, and I even did a little hard pruning on mine, but I waited till the middle
of
summer.
Richard, do you have pretty much a point at the end where there's one or two branches coming up to make the top, or have you got more of a blunt end to it?
Well, I had them done last March.
Oh, okay.
And I don't like the pointed stuff.
Yeah, okay.
So I had them.
It's your garden.
Kind of round.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reduced mine down to rounds last year and did it in summer, and guess what? It's still holding.
Really?
So, yeah, and this is why I recommend that summer prune. If we're looking for actual shape reduction and form reduction that's going to hold, summer's your best time for pruning.
I'll be there. I always thought it was March.
Well,
March is actually, though, when the plant is getting ready to make its big push of growth. So even if you prune it all back, it's going to come roaring back in.
Oh, of course.
There you go.
Yeah.
Go play golf.
Yeah. Yeah, think about it. I just gave you an afternoon off here. Run with it, Richard. Run.
Thanks a lot, guys.
No problem. Bye-bye, take care.
We're going to take Jim. Stay on the line. We are going to take a short break, and then we'll come back, take Jim's call, your call, and answer a few more questions for Kathleen. I told you we'd keep you all the show, Kathleen. So. But we'll be back right after this.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know their wrong way. Find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
And welcome back to Garden Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. 522 WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, and WTIC translates numerically to 9842. Let's go to Jim in Southington. Hey, Jim, thanks for calling, man.
Hi, how are you today?
We're doing great.
Good, good. Hey, I've had these two bluebird houses up for about 7-8 years. Yeah. And all I get them is sparrows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This morning I was getting some firewood from out back, and I look up in a little tree, and there's a bluebird sitting there.
Waiting for his chance at the house?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how to keep the sparrows out of there so we can go in.
Oh, okay.
So, bluebirds are real specific in what their needs and wants are with how that house gets put up.
Yeah, what direction
right.
It is.
How yeah, high it we is. Need an eastward facing so they're catching sunlight right away first thing.
Yep.
That's part of it. The other thing is they like long, being a swallow type bird, they like long, long sight lines and flight lines to get in and out of that house. So keeping the fronts cleared away is super important.
A very typical bluebird flight is, let's say that they're coming out of a house or off a branch, you'll see them glide towards the bottom. Towards the ground, within a foot of the ground, and then swoop
up. Pitch up. Yeah, yeah, to dump those
So they
feet.
Need that long 50-foot or more launch.
Okay. Well, these are facing a field.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. But, yeah, they're looking for that east facing because that way the sun's hitting the long open side of the box and warming up the house. Yeah. It's a temperature thing for them.
Now, for the sparrows, the sparrows are going to take advantage of it because they like the same size hole.
Yeah, and they'll go anywhere.
If you can clean out the box, go in and clean it out now while the bluebirds are waiting for it. They'll have their way with the sparrows, but it can be a battle. And the thing is to disrupt the sparrows in advance, take advantage of the bluebirds.
Yeah, that's what I did. I emptied out both of the boxes this morning as soon as I seen the bluebird.
Good, good. Yeah, and they'll take. And then you may want to. I don't know if you feed them mealworms or anything like that.
Yeah, feeding mealworms is a great way to bring those guys in because they are insectivores for the most part. The other reason they like those long flight lines.
Yeah.
The most successful places I've seen them over and over again, golf courses.
Where
they've got a long fairway, you got a fence right there. They do fabulously there.
Give that a try there, Jim.
Yeah, this field used to be a horse farm, so it's good size.
Mm. But I think that eastern direction is most of that's where I had my most success. I put out four bluebird houses, and the only one that got bluebirds successfully year after year is the one facing
east.
You're right, Scott.
Yeah, it is one of the most important parts.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, that's good to know. I always thought it was west. facing west.
Nope. We're trying to gather early sun as soon as possible.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, thanks a lot. We listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
Oh, great. You're welcome. This is Jim. All right. Hey, okay. Let's go and answer a couple more questions here from Kathleen. Let's answer all of them.
If we can.
I need to plant grass in the areas where I removed Harry. Lisa mentioned the product, but to put on first before the grass seed, what was that? Jeez, damned if I know. No, I'm sure it was the Miracal. From Jonathan Green. Yeah. But again, you're going to get rid of it. There's no sense in planting a nice grass seed early in the spring. Put on a builder's mix or an annual rye now. It'll die. An annual will only last the summer.
Sure.
And then you go spend the money on.
You could do something like a buckwheat. Put it in place there so it's actually fixing nitrogen out of the atmosphere and into your soils, and it's an annual crop, so you whack it down, the roots die off, and your soil got more rich. Yep. Clover's another excellent suggestion.
Where can I get good compost, as I may need a lot? Now, a lot, I'm assuming, is not necessarily in bags, but in bulk.
Not necessarily in bags, but a good guy to get both from is my pal Jack up at Collins' Compost.
Uh-huh.
Up in Enfield. He's got it both ways usually. Although I noticed since he started bagging, they go, there's been a little less of the bulk out there. But this is a real organic from a real Connecticut farmer from his own herd that he takes good care of and makes wonderful ice cream out of. If you go up there while the ice cream place is open, hey, two birds, one stone, right?
He's open today. He's up in Enfield. Another one that has a 5-star rating is Advanced Organics in New Milford, whatever's closer. They're open today. And Harvest New England gets 4 3/4 stars. They're closed today, however, and they do bulk. They're in Ellington, which is kind of more in the north.
In north.
Yeah.
Not quite as far north as Jack, but.
Yeah. So those are the three places. They're all online. If you Google Organic Compost Connecticut, all the addresses and the phone numbers will come up. Oh, I just don't know how we got along without the internet. I guess we were dumber.
More ignorant. I don't know if we were dumber, but we were less informed. If you had told me at 2 or 3 years old, I would be able to put all of the answers in the world in my pocket, I would have been demanding it immediately at age 3 and 4, because this is wonderful.
So I was thinking next week, maybe we should discuss all those little products in our arsenal. I know I have a lot of organic products in my arsenal. And that you should stock up now before they're off the shelf. Have them there and maybe what they're used to. That might be a good show. One of the things that you can do right now, if you have fruit trees, horticultural spray, that's an oil spray, keeps the mites, that suffocates the mites. And also coming up here in a little bit.
Oils tend to knock down fungus, too.
Yeah. Cucurio,
Plum Curculio.
Plum Curculio, which is a weevil, is going to be emerging here pretty soon. And what they need to do is to crawl up the trunk of your apple tree. And they put the little dimple when they suck the juices out. Put the little dimple in your apple. So now's the time to maybe wrap them in a little bit of paper, wrap the trunk, bottom 6 inches of the trunk with they sell a corrugated paper product. And then just put a Tanglefoot all over that so that when they crawl up, they get stuck and they don't get up there. And then there's other things you can do later on in the season, but that's the spring stuff that needs to be done.
Yeah, and it's a lot harder for us here in the far right side of the country where we have the fungal sporulation just can that we have, if the whole country just blows towards us.
Yeah.
We're those spoiled guys up in Washington State and Oregon.
Yeah,
and
what is the Pacific?
They got an ocean between them and the next fungus spores.
I don't know.
So, yeah, especially in particular the sprays and things that you get on to take care of fungus. Yeah, it's coming up quick.
And, you know, I, with that in mind, I might even put the spray of neem oil on before bloom and bud.
Yeah.
Because just for that reason.
Just for that reason. Yeah. Exactly so.
Well, Bob and Scott, it's been wonderful. The corn dogs have been good. The callers have been great. Our producer is the best you can get.
He came up with some good stuff.
He did.
He's on top
of it. Yes, he is. Volume was good.
Checks
in the mail.
Much love to Joey. Yeah, the sound was exceptional, I think, for this show.
Yeah. And our voice, we sounded good too. I don't know how he does that.
And we sounded smart, which is
that's a fluke. That's an act of mercy.
There you go.
Anyway. Well, Bob, you know what we say, don't you?
Yep. We're gonna go out, see you in the garden, but don't do too much.
That's right.
Happy spring.
God bless everyone. Thank you.